965thecave.com. A minute after 7 on this Monday night at Frickers and Adrian. Looks like the weather might be rolling in, so seek shelter inside Frickers. I'm your host, Ian Wendt. Josh Mitchell, our engineer tonight. Stacy Mitchell, co-worker. Dinner date on Monday nights, except the last two where we've had softball games and then no show. Right?
Softball games. I had baseball games.
Well, you had baseball games. I had softball games. Boy, people have been looking forward to this show since this time last year. This show in particular, this day. It is our last one of the academic year and athletic year, technically. So that means an hour of Mike Prang, uncensored. No. Sports Information Director at Adrian College. This guy's going to be speaking at a panel in Las Vegas, Nevada, this summer about college sports communicators. So congrats on that. Good luck.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck avoiding the distractions of Las Vegas. We're going to split this show up into three. We're going to talk fall, winter, spring. And, you know, I went to the commencement yesterday. Of course, a little windy, but a beautiful ceremony, as it always is. Reflecting back on, you know, hearing a lot of these names, young men and women across the stage, getting their diploma, Petten Bruiser Jr., Bruiser 2, and moving on to the next thing, I reflect on not only their careers, but this athletic season is almost over. There's a couple more teams that and some individuals that have some more stuff to do in the spring.
I see a tear in your eye right now. Are you
just a little twinkle? Just a twinkle. I mean, and people we've had on, this is what, year three of the show?
Yeah.
So most of their career, some of them have been on the show. Or I'm doing public address at a basketball game, or I'm calling a football game, or doing a hockey game. You know, it starts to get to you, Prang. When you get older, you'll realize that. But we start off the year with one of the more memorable football seasons, albeit they didn't win the conference championship, but you beat Division I Valparaiso week one, make national news, and your season comes right down to the wire. Football goes 8-2, all sorts of records. And I forget who said it, if it was Dr. Docking or Athletic Director Craig Rainey, but football sets the tone for the year, and they did a heck of a job.
Yeah, I mean, just look at any school you go to. Your school spirit kind of rides and dies with football, or in some cases basketball, or our case, you know, football, hockey, baseball, stuff like that. So, but yeah, I mean, right off the bat, football kind of really brings the energy to your campus for the entire year. And seeing this team go 8-2, and yes, we came up short of the MIAA championship, but you know, the two losses that we had were by a combined 3 points.
That's a second tear in my eye there, Frank. Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. And I mean, to have now Adrian College be recognized as having some individuals on the All-American team and stuff like that, and continuing to grow, and now teams are becoming afraid of playing Adrian in football, and that's what we want, and we want to get back to that championship status, and we were right there. But yeah, we're ready for next season to be another good one.
Yeah, and you know, it a couple games in there in conference. I think the Trine game, that's a trophy game. Mm-hmm. But to me, the rivalry is Albion, and we've been playing football since forever. And for some reason, it just always seemed that school in purple found a way the last number of years. And I know Trine has too, but those two games for me meant a lot and a turning point. Now, you know, did those schools have a down year in football? Maybe. But even in their down years, they get up for a rivalry game. Yeah. So to see, you know, the guys bring that Border Brawl trophy over to the stands, you know, for the fans and all that stuff, it's a big moment. And then to do the same against Albion. I mean, those were two for me. I know the losses were gut-wrenching. And if that's the kind of losses we're going to have where they're 2 or 1 points, it's mathematically better than losing by 20.
Yeah, no,
right?
Exactly.
And you know that you're right there, and gives this team an edge to go into next season with a little something different. They're losing a lot. I mean, they had, you mentioned All-American, Ethan Burroughs, led the league, led the country in interceptions,
mm-hmm.
or tied or led it.
Yep. Led.
Noah Boudry setting school records, seemed like every week.
Burroughs is back. Yeah.
Braden Whitaker back, the young man from Dundee.
Yep.
Most of the.
Liam Carey, those guys.
Is he?
I thought so.
I don't know.
I thought he was a junior, maybe. I have to double check on
that. He was
that,
a senior, but they may have been trying to get another year out of him.
Maybe.
If you're listening, Liam, we'd love to have you back. You know, linebacking room will be strong. Defensive and offensive line might be a strength.
Mm-hmm.
But in talking with Coach Palka for spring ball, up the middle is very important. And you graduated your center. Your quarterback's gone. I don't know what the running back room's going to look like. Your middle linebacker. And luckily you got your safeties. So yeah. Plenty of work for those coaches to do. But, hey, if things trend the way they've been going, things will be good.
Yeah.
Success normally doesn't go this way. It's normally ups and downs and rocky road. But, I mean, first 2 years, things are going in the right direction. Moving along to the soccer clubs, both got 6 wins this year. Middle-ish of the pack in the MIAA. I know men's soccer, probably both, to their standard, a little bit lesser than what they've been used to the last couple of years. But, hey, the league's going to catch up to you at some point.
Yeah, and, I mean, Charlie Miles has definitely recruited a very young team for us on the men's side and had a lot of young guys in playing. And to see that team be where they are with how young and I'll say inexperienced they were was great, and there's just so much more room to build and see the success down the road. So making that tournament making the MIAA tournament where the majority of the guys on the field are freshmen and sophomores with a junior here and there is great. So just that team going to continue to build and improve and just get more experience by playing more games as they get older, and that's a team I'm excited for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Same with the women.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong with the men's side. They graduated quite a few seniors, or am I getting them mixed up with lacrosse, or are they both in the same boat?
Yeah,
I know lacrosse is very young, too.
Yeah, both in the same boat. I mean, both teams had a relatively larger roster for their sports and stuff. So, yeah, they were graduating people. But yeah, like I said, like the people that were getting the playing time were some of these younger guys, mainly at the sophomore level for men's soccer. So,
let's go indoors to the Marilat. Women's volleyball, big-time struggle pretty much all year. That's a team that was trying to find themselves, I think, in a lot of ways. Coach trying to fill some spots for, you know, left by some players that put up a lot of numbers. Hard to do.
Yeah, I mean, one person he really had to replace was your 3-time MIAA Defensive Player of the Year, and Maya Mangeris from 2 years ago. So that's something that's tough to do. And you're outside like an Amber Morris and a Haley Farrell as your setter. Like, when you have those people that are playing year after year after year, and they're getting all these minutes and all these reps and stuff, no matter who's backing them up next year, is going to be a little bit more, like we talked about with soccer, inexperienced and younger. So, this year was a very tough year for that team, but a year of a lot of learning, too. So,
right,
we'll see in the future if they can move up and into those roles where they're putting up numbers.
Yeah, and I know Coach put a good schedule together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's the good and the bad to that. You know, you'll take some losses in order to learn, but then if those losses pile up, it could snowball the wrong way into conference play, and then, you know, you're losing matches that you shouldn't lose. So it's about finding that balance in schedule where, all right, I think we're this. Like, here's, I think we'll be this. I hope we're this because that's what I'm scheduling for.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to, you know, under-schedule yourself and win games and not learn anything, and then you get into league play and it's totally different. So you got to find a balancing act with that.
Yeah, and like your opponents, like when you are making your schedules, they look at what you're doing right now. Like all the teams that we scheduled this past season, they didn't know our 3-time Defensive Player of the Year was graduating. You know, they don't really look at that. Mm-hmm. They look at what you're doing now and do we mesh well? Is this a game that's going to be competitive that we'll learn but also have a shot to win and stuff? So, yeah, I mean, it's scheduling strategically too. So I know he's got a schedule set for next year or finalizing a schedule for next year. And, yeah, just another team that's looking to grow.
talking fall athletics at Adrian College 2025. Cross country, Run Dogs, and that's a team, both teams that are, I feel like, have had some leadership changes or just trying to recruit and get some numbers up in those cases.
Yeah, Miles Kane just finished his second year with us, so yeah, there was a recent leadership change and stuff, and another kind of younger team, but yeah, smaller numbers, and we're working on recruiting for that sport and putting more people out there to compete for us. But I mean, this past year, the highlight was Will Hoovener, who I think spoke on the show two or three times.
Oh yeah,
because it was every week he was getting MIAA Athlete of the Week
and school records.
Yeah, school records, yeah. And he was all MIAA. He received all region honors, stuff like that. So I mean, it seemed that was a common name that I was reporting on, and
right.
Yeah, that's somebody whose name got called the other day for graduation. So seeing who's going to be the next person to step up, and yeah, I mean, what's nice is a lot of those kids also run track, so they're in season all year long, where they're constantly training 365 days a year.
And what I guess it doesn't surprise me, because the conference is at a point, the MIAA, where one of the schools seems to be competing at a national level in any given sport.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're going to run. Well, maybe you got a All-American from, I won't say another school name to give them airtime, but it's like that's who we're competing against. You know, if softball season just wrapped up, Trine won the national championship last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then you got a team that we played in Olivet that hadn't won a game since early March.
Mm-hmm.
So, and going back to cross country, I feel like, you know, it's good to build a program with that to be the goal, but it's hard to recruit against that, because I'm sure they go for a lot of the same athletes.
Yeah, I mean, just the state of Michigan. I mean, we're always competing with different schools, and it's always it's a small win before the season when I see someone on our roster and their hometown is Grand Rapids or Holland,
right.
Or
yeah.
You know, around Fort Wayne area near Angola,
sure.
We're trying it. So that's always, you know, a victory when we're kind of stealing those athletes from them. But yeah, I mean, it's a competition off the field of play where you have to just go get these athletes and compete against the Hopes, the Calvins, the Trines, and, you know, national ranked teams.
Yeah. Did the baseball games, Adrian played Hope, and there was a kid for Hope that was from Kalamazoo.
Yeah.
Like, wow, that must have been interesting recruiting, you know, situation. But yeah, it is nice to, you know, get some athletes from where they're from, whether we go to the Metro Detroit area, Toledo, as you mentioned, on the west side of the state, and down into Indiana. You know, looking at the fall, I want to wrap up. Can we wrap up a little bit of ACHA hockey? Because I feel like that season starts around Halloween, which is right in the mix of fall sports. I mean, it's one of the longer seasons, I think, calendar-wise.
Around homecoming, actually.
Oh,
ACHA.
Sure. Yeah. So let's start with let's do a little men's D1 talk, and then we'll take a break. What a weird year for this team, because the expectation is so great. Like, losing 7 games all season, most of the country would take that.
Yes.
But I feel like this team was disappointed in that, but they did win their conference regular season and the conference tournament. Then they go on a nearly unprecedented run in the ACHA tournament.
Yeah, I mean, those 7 losses, it's crazy. That makes you the 9th-ranked team in the country, which, yes, is good. When you look at the ACHA tournament bracket, the top 8 get a first-round bye.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the last time we played a first-round game before this year, and we had to play one this year. Granted, we were the highest seed that needed to play a first-round game, so we had the lowest seed of who made the tournament, which was the number 24th-ranked West Virginia University. So that was a win, and what was nice was the team just continued to get hotter and hotter as postseason play went on, and as the 9 seed, you're playing in the national championship, and you beat the 1 seed. You beat the 4 seed. Like, you're beating all these really tough teams.
Yeah.
And the team you play in the national championship, somebody you see during the year, And the last few years, we've always split with them. We beat them at our place.
Sure.
We lose at our place.
Because I'm usually there doing the game on the Cave. So we lose that game.
Yep.
And then we go down to Athens and we beat Ohio.
Yeah. But, I mean, that team is just up and down every year. Impressive. No matter who's in net, you know, who's taking the faceoffs, there's always going to be that stud person there. And, I mean, that team got tons of awards, all conference. Then there's the team awards and then the national tournament, all tournament team awards. And we got a couple All-Americans and stuff. So kind of no matter who's playing for that team, we're just pushing out quality hockey and a lot of talent.
Yeah, I mean, Sebastian Smith, Nathaniel Mott, Dylan Gajewski, names that, you know, again, went to graduation yesterday.
Yeah.
Those names come across, I go, man, they're finally graduating. Because you will play a lot, you know, if you're talented. You know, Gary will get you ice time.
Yeah, and I mean, those guys are talented. Like, it's, they're going to be people that you're really going to miss wearing an Adrian jersey. But you're not going to miss him too much because Gary's got the next guy up that's going to replace Sebastian Smith. Like, it's crazy. So, he'll get that next five-year guy that's going to score 180 points for his career and
go play pro somewhere.
Exactly. So, like, yes, everyone would love to have Sebastian Smith on your team and Nathaniel Mott and all those guys. Like, you never want those guys to leave. But when they do leave, it's like, thanks for all you've done here. The next guy's in the chamber.
Yeah,
I'm ready
it's time.
To go.
Right? Like, it's time. Thank you. It's time.
Yes.
You know, it's like I like to spend all night in Frickers. But at some point, it's time. They don't want me here. I don't want to be here. It's been 6 hours. We got to go. You know what I mean, Stacey? She's nodding her head up and down. We are going to break. We teased our winter season a little bit. Talking men's ACHA D1 hockey. There's plenty more hockey to talk about, and we'll hit the mat with wrestling. We'll have basketball talk, skating, and so much more. It's the ACL Access Show, year in review. Yours truly, Ian Wendt, and the one and only Mike Prang. We'll continue next from Frickers in Adrian.
They call us a Cinderella store.
The little college that could.
We are Adrian College.
From the ground up, we continue to build programs, facilities, and academics.
We mold champions and initiate drive.
We are creative, innovative, demanding, and determined.
We didn't start from the bottom. We lead from the top.
We are Adrian College.
This isn't some fairy tale.
It's the beginning of a story.
It's not just 4 years of your life. It's the foundation of your inspiration.
The roots of your future.
We are Adrian College.
Swing by Frickers this week and treat yourself to one of our unbeatable lunch combos. Choose from your favorites, like the Big Frickin' BLT, Cheeseburger, Frickin' Chicken Wrap, and more. Each with a side and drink for just $7.49. Plus, use the Frickers app and score double points on lunch for a limited time. Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Whether you dine in or grab it to go, lunch just got a whole lot tastier and more rewarding at your home for fun, food, sports, and spirits.
They call us a Cinderella store.
The little college that could.
We are Adrian College.
From the ground up, we continue to build programs, facilities, and academics.
We mold champions and initiate drive.
We are creative, innovative, demanding, and determined.
We didn't start from the bottom. We lead from the top.
We are Adrian College.
This isn't some fairy tale.
It's the beginning of a story.
It's not just 4 years of your life. It's the foundation of your inspiration.
The roots of your future.
We are Adrian College.
Swing by Frickers this week and treat yourself to one of our unbeatable lunch combos. Choose from your favorites, like the Big Frickin' BLT, Cheeseburger, Frickin' Chicken Wrap, and more. Each with a side and drink for just $7.49. Plus, use the Frickers app and score double points on lunch for a limited time. Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Whether you dine in or grab it to go, lunch just got a whole lot tastier and more rewarding at your home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Welcome back to the AC All Access Show. I know you never left on 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com. Since mid-late August, we've been doing the show from Frickers and Adrian. 7 to 8. Thanks for being a part of it. It's our final show for the season. Ian Wendt, Josh Mitchell, Mike Prang. It's the Mike Prang Show.
Easy now.
This is Craig Rainey's favorite show. I mean, normally he'll come in. I mean, he's come in before. I think he's just hanging out in his car.
He's driving back from Ohio Northern right now.
Oh, he is? Oh, yeah. Played a ball game, didn't they?
They did. Yeah. Didn't go our way.
No.
9-7 final in favor of
9-7?
Yeah.
Okay.
A little late comeback, but not enough.
Similar to Saturday in Holland, yeah.
Down 13-0 and late comeback.
13-8.
13-8, so.
Scored a touchdown and got the two-pointer. Yeah, it's a sports joke. Bad one in that. We finished the last segment talking men's D1 ACHA hockey. Gary's won multiple national championships with Coach Gary Estalos. I wonder where he would rank this team. Like, I think proud would be the word because they were trying to figure stuff out in net. And, you know, the country kind of looked down on the team a little bit, and they had some tough games. And, you know, but they just found a way late to get it together and say, look, we're too good to be where we are, and they got a runner-up finish.
I mean, it shows that team's got heart the most. Like, I mean, they're competitive, and they're going to compete, and they know that, you know, they need to turn it on late, otherwise their season is going to end, and they don't ever want that. So, yeah, proud is definitely a good word for it. And, I mean, obviously this team ranks below the teams that have won a national championship.
Oh, sure.
But
yes,
for the teams that haven't, it's up there.
Yeah. Let's move over to the women's D1 program, who this next season will have a new coach. But 19-15-2 overall, 11-3 in their conference. They did make it to the national tournament. So talk about getting some respect on the national stage. I think that's a team that certainly did that.
Yeah, and, I mean, we entered the national tournament as the number 7 seed. So they do theirs a little bit differently. They do kind of more pool play, and then the top team out of each pool. We had number 2 Midland in our pool. They won the pool to advance into the 4-team bracket play. But, yeah, down year for that team, honestly. Obviously with how many losses did I say we had?
Said we had 15.
15, yep, 19 yep. And 15. And, yeah, so it was kind of a down year, but still for that team to have just the national respect and have still the number 7 seed for the national tournament was great. And they graduated some talent, not too much, though. Like, there's a lot coming back.
Sure.
As well. And, yeah, with Maddie Nolan as our new coach that was announced about a month ago, you know, the girls are excited for that. They're excited for a little bit of change and get back to that national champion caliber status. And, I mean, we've already talked with everyone on the team, and they're just – the word they're saying for next year is excited.
Well, there you go. You're going to have to kind of stabilize the goalie situation. No, Riley Jesse Girelli. I don't know. I think she's taller than me, 6'1", maybe, 6'2", a tall young lady, and she's going to do some great things in the legal world,
mm-hmm.
I know. But, you know, that's senior leadership, that's fifth-year leadership. They'll have to find the next class, so to speak, of that for the program. And you want to be, I think, if you're a coach, you want it to be more of a player-driven thing. Right, we're not in high school anymore. This is college, right? Figure out your captains, your leadership. You obviously construct the roster, but then, you know, kind of let it bake, if you will.
Yeah, and, I mean, I was talking – forget who I was talking about this, but, you know, the team captain means so much more in hockey than does any other sport. Mainly it's because you're talking to the refs, and that's the only person on the ice that really can
sure.
talk to the refs outside of the coach and stuff. But, you know, hockey, because of that, it's an established norm that, hey, these people are leaders, and we ride or die with them. And, yeah, like we're going to listen to everything that they say, and there's a lot more voices in that room then that are leading this team up.
Yeah, well said. Let's turn our attention to NCAA hockey. We'll go to the women. 24-6-0 this year, 17-1 in the Northern Collegiate Hockey Association. Regular season champion, Slots Cup champion. Those are two things that This team wanted to get back from last year. They did not do either of those last season, or the year before, I guess, technically now, 2024, 4 or 5. They did that, and I know the year didn't end the way they wanted to out in Pennsylvania, losing a tight game in the first round of the NCAA tournament. But, you know, for how young they are this year, or were this year, I'm talking present tense, in many key spots, this team did more than maybe what could have been reasonably expected of them, right? Ton of freshmen playing. You have a sophomore goalie, Kira Stack, that, you know, coming into, like, in the summer, I don't think she was supposed to start. And then they kind of throw her in, and she was one of the stories for the team.
Yeah. What was nice was all the success that those young people had right off the bat, like your Elizabeth Sturgeons, your Sophia Licolas, and, like you said, Stack as well. I mean, she was not expecting to be the starter game one of the year, and she won the spot. I mean, she worked her butt off in practice and, mm-hmm. and won that spot, and next thing you know, end of the season comes, and she's an All-American. And she's the person that's leading this team to the NCAA tournament. I mean, I think she finished the year with 8-9 shutouts, something like that. So, yeah. Like, that was great. And, you know, all tournament team goalie and stuff. And you do have a leader coming back as well in Paige Pomerleau. You know, she just finished up her junior year. And, you know, another All-American name, person that's probably going to have the C on her jersey next year. And, and she... What's great about someone like Paige was starts the year as a forward, gets put back on D because we had low numbers at D, and she was able to adjust and still lead that team and also be just as equally impactful on the ice as a D than she was a forward. And
She's just a hockey player.
Yeah.
Coach, get me on the ice. I don't care. And she's smart enough to do both. She's quick enough to be a forward, and she can handle it, you know, stick handle, puck handle enough to be a good defender. And you're right, she came in as a D. We had really good depth of forward. And last year, I think Coach Chad Davis was really pushing her to be a forward because we had pretty good depth defensively. But this year, I think out of necessity and maybe some injury too, you know, we had to push her back. But this team's going to, you know, miss the slap shot and wrister of Courtney Benn.
Mm-hmm.
Had a really breakout season this year.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I talked about the ACHA D1 team being proud. To be proud of an individual player, it's me and Courtney Benn, because the Frozen Four run that the team went on in 2024, she was a scratch in that game in Wisconsin. And she transferred in from Elmira the, you know, start of the year. And Elmira was in that Frozen Four. And I said, hey, you know, we're going to get back here. You know, she was obviously upset that she wasn't going to play and all that stuff. And just the player that she turned into from then to now, I mean, there's, you know, nothing more I can say about a player like that. So,
yeah, and I mean... Yeah, I mean, you said the shot that she has is just a hard.
It's a professional shot. That's what Coach Davis kept saying.
Yeah, and I mean, talk about somebody that really will work hard and is motivated to continue to get better day in and day out. And yeah, went from a scratch to a starter and one of the higher scoring people in the country. And a lot of help with that was she was paired up on the same line as Riley Johnson, and you know, both of them were putting up close to 50 points on the year, and I mean, Riley Johnson's another one, transferred in, she scored 100 points for her career in 2 years.
Right. So. Yeah, that's true. I mean, optimistic, obviously, for next year, and I, you know, mentioned this senior day for the softball team. It's like, well, you think of what you're losing, but then you think of what's coming back, because there will be a next year, right?
I mean, we only graduated 4 seniors, so
yeah,
a lot coming back, year of experience under their belt, and who knows who we get out of the transfer portal and all that kind of stuff, where it may not be too hard to replace those top scorers.
Oh, and the, you know, Coach Davis and Coach McGowan can either make All-Americans out of you or recruit All-Americans to come play at Adrian College. Switching gears to NCAA men's team, they finished the year 20 7-1, 14-3-1 in the conference. They won the regular season championship. They did something at St. Norbert that I'd have to check my notes. I don't think we'd ever done that, is get 2 wins at Norbert.
Yeah, that's the first time we have ever done that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just such a tough rink to play in, and everyone knows the history between Adrian and St. Norbert. I mean, it goes back to when we were not in the same conference and St. Norbert beat us in our first time to the national championship game years ago. Mm-hmm. And then now we're in the same conference together, and that rivalry's already been built. So to go on the road and grab 2 wins from St. Norbert is very tough to do, and we handled that for the first time, which was awesome.
The problem this year was Aurora University.
Yeah.
I mean, was that 6 of the 7 losses?
5 of the 7 losses
were to one school. And that was the difference between number one, you know, advancing and making the Harris Cup championship. But maybe if you win one of those in season, we get an at-large and go to the NCAAs. And that's just, you know, they had our number this year. But everyone else, things rolled. You know, for the Bulldogs. So
yeah.
it was a weird year in that sense. Number one, that we played that team so many times. 2 in conference, a couple non-conference, and then in the postseason.
Yeah, and I mean, that's, don't want to say that the tide is shifting, but we've had Aurora's number for years and years and years.
Yes.
And Aurora has some very solid athletes on their team, and this year they got the best of us. But, you know, now that has fueled the fire to not let them fully take over, and mm-hmm. Coach Phillips is recruiting to take all that back. And, I mean, we don't have Aurora on our schedule next year 5 times, but if we were to play him 5 times, he plans to beat him 5 times. So,
oh, of course.
So,
I bet he got sick of me asking about it. But I'm like, I gotta ask you questions that the people are going to ask you, right? That's why people tune in.
Yeah. And,
so,
it,
you know.
One thing that's great for us, and I'm going to pull this up on my phone here real quick, but we have St. Norbert and Aurora both at home this year, this coming season for 26-27.
Okay.
So both those series are going to be home series.
Wow.
Makes it tough for next year when we got to go on the road to both of them. But
sure. Yeah, that, you know, yeah, that happens.
We're looking to win now.
You talk about people that have, you know, now graduated from this team. I remember when the captain, Jake Swade, came in, and Coach Adam Krug at the time said that he's going to be a captain.
Mm-hmm. And he said for 2 years.
Yeah. But when he was young, it was like, that guy's going to be the captain.
Yeah.
You know, when it's his time, he's going to be captain. And he really fit that role. He didn't, you know, give you a ton of scoring, but he seemed to give you some big points. Other guys, you know, Ian Amsbaugh, out of this world, points-wise. And a bunch of these guys are going to play more hockey, right? Their hockey career isn't over, thankfully, and there's plenty of guys that we'll be keeping our eye on in the future.
Yeah, well, I mean, the two you just named, they both signed pro deals out of right after the season was over. I mean, Swade went to Kalamazoo Wings, so staying in the state of Michigan.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's going to be tough to replace a guy like Amsbaugh, your NCHA Player of the Year and an All-American and stuff. But the person I see stepping into that role is a Patrick Saney, a Jack Ohanesson, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, you got David Clark coming back to be a junior. And he's already got an All-American status under his belt. So that's going to be great. And that's a guy who I can see being a captain next year or his senior year. I mean, that's not any hidden news. Everyone kind of knows that if you watch his team.
Sure.
So, yeah. And, I mean, Coach Phillips in his second year getting Coach of the Year for the conference as well is just great. And it just shows how much he improved his team from his first year to his second year.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, there's off the ice. There's on the ice. This is a very, I'd say the ice programs at Adrian College are embraced. That's where I'm going to look for. Embraced by a lot of very passionate people. And that's a good thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pressure is a good thing. And I think Coach Phillips has handled that very well, especially from last year to this past season. you know, that 20-7 record and one. It is what it is. But you talk about, you know, improvements, bringing in some more of his people, hitting some transfers. The elder Ohanneson, big transfer. Ryan Piros in goal. I don't know if he's going to be back next year. I jokingly say that because he's bounced around in his career. But, hey, we'll see when the fall comes around. But, you know, things are looking up for that team. And, you know, you mentioned those two rivals at home.
Yeah.
Arrington is a tough place to play.
It is.
That's what I've heard.
It is.
That's what I've heard. Moving through some winter sports, wrestling. On the men's side, they were 3-5 in duels. Down year in the MIAA for the Dogs, 1-3 in the conference. But a bright spot, Aiden Smith did earn All-American status. I know he was gunning for a national championship, but came up short in a difficult weekend. But he was a bright spot in a season that we'll call it a retooling year for Coach Schindel. When I went to one or two matches, he played a lot of young guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, freshmen and sophomores. I'm like, this is senior day, right? Don't you let the seniors wrestle? But that just shows where his program is and that freshmen are competing with seniors for mat time.
Yeah, and I mean, those guys know that every day they go to practice, it's competition. I mean, you're wrestling against guys, and, you know, he does wrestle offs at practice, and it's okay. We're doing a duel on Friday. We're going to duel in practice, and whoever comes out in this weight class, like, it gives me no reason not to have them as the starter in Friday's duel. So those guys continue to compete every single day, and, yeah, a lot of young guys are winning those wrestle-offs in practice, which is great for the program because it's building those younger guys some experience to then bring back the MIAA trophy to Adrian. Aiden Smith is a guy, rough weekend towards the end.
Yeah.
He had a little injury, but still was able to fight his way to a top eight finish at Nationals to become an All-American and another regional championship for him. And
rolling through, we had the women's wrestling team. They were 8-9 in duels. Carly Charnetsky and Mia Gagens, All-Americans. Mia, a multiple-time guest on the show. I think we had Carly once, maybe twice this year. I mean, talk about a couple of highlights. Mia, sophomore this year,
yeah.
If I remember right. So if we're lucky, we'll get her for another couple of years. Sky's the limit, I think, for her. But a solid year for a women's wrestling program that's really building.
Yeah. I mean, having her as a sophomore and her coming back has been great. And, you know, you look at just the growth of women's wrestling as a sport as a whole, not just at Adrian College, but we were one of the initial teams to have it, and we were those high-ranked teams because there were way less teams. However, now we're not up at the top as much with more and more teams, but we're still getting these high-caliber athletes that are still keeping Adrian right there and bringing home All-American status and getting deep into the national tournament runs and qualifying for nationals and mm-hmm. and everything. So, another just more success out of that program. And it's nice to have younger talent that's successful right off the bat.
Looking at kind of big picture with women's wrestling, I don't know if this helps or hurts that the MIAA doesn't have it as a sport. I don't know if that's coming or if there's plans or how many other teams do have it, but I think that could help and move this team ahead is to build maybe rivalries in that. I'm sure they get some non-conference, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, that's the majority of our duels and outside of a Trine and an Albion. But even then, MIAA doesn't have women's wrestling. I think we need one more school to talk about adding it.
Okay.
Right now it's us, Trine, Albion, and Alma.
No West Side?
No West Side and no
interesting.
Olivet only has men's, not women's. So
okay.
that's what makes the women's side one less than the men. There's no women's wrestling at Olivet. So
we'll have a talk with them.
Yeah,
we'll figure it out.
I mean, like I said, the sport just continues to build. This was the first year that the NCAA had it as a championship. So instead of 90 national championships at the NCAA, there's now 91, 91st being women's wrestling. So it's going to just continue to grow and grow and grow, and hopefully the MIAA gets one more team where we can add it as a sport and all that. And then the next step would be break off D1 and D3 for NCAA sure. National Championships, because right now we're competing against, you know, the powerhouse at a University of Iowa and a lot of D2 schools as well. So yeah, that sport just continues to grow.
Rolling down our list, men's and women's basketball. Men's team finished sixth in the conference, 3-11 in the MIAA. That earned them a trip to Calvin, where maybe a game we want to forget, not the best way to end the season. But for that team, we're going to look forward. We got a local coach, Jamison Webster, coming over from Tecumseh, and he's going to take over that program. We had him on the Cave here recently to talk about, you know, next steps with the team. It's obviously, hey, who do we have now, right? Recruit who's there. You know, maybe a guy just like, all right, I'm gone, or hey, I want to stick around. So, you know, talk about rebuilding. That's a team that's going to go through it. Not, you know, similar to what women's basketball went through a couple years ago when Sam Miller got hired.
Yeah. I mean, what's nice hiring a local guy like Jamison at Tecumseh is the connection that family has to the community here. And, you know, you look at a sport like men's hockey, how involved the community is part of the reason right. that team is successful. Like, yes, we recruit very good hockey players and we have very good coaching staff and stuff, but that team is not as successful if it wasn't for the support that the community gives them. And those guys realize that. Mm-hmm. And it'd be great to have that for all 53 of our teams at Adrian College.
Yeah,
and
I think football's building that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Craig Rainey for baseball's got that.
Oh, duh. That's like penciled, obviously. Yeah.
So yeah, to now have Jamison Webster as our head coach is going to be great. And looking to the future of getting more of that community engagement. And, you know, that's a team that honestly, like, they need some donors to make this team a little bit more unique and stand out a bit more to these recruits, because like we talked about earlier in the show, we're recruiting the same people as Trine and Albion and Hope and Calvin, and you know, it's a national competition and just recruit.
Yes.
So what's going to make Adrian College stand out more? To two of these recruits.
And on the women's side, I mean, Sam's pretty blunt, so it would be a disappointment on the year for them. You know, some ups and downs. Young at the guard position still, but not young at the post. I think this team could look a little bit different next year. And I know Sam and his coaching staff are on the recruiting trail to, you know, keep the shelves stocked.
I mean, yeah, it will be completely different next year. There's no Morgan Babb and Aubrey Ickes, so your posts are going to be brand new, or at least the ones that are seeing close to 40 minutes a game are going
right.
to be brand new. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, Coach Miller is going to be blunt and say it's a disappointing season because we didn't win the tournament.
Or make the tournament, yeah, right.
You know, he's got high expectations for that team, but the thing about it, this was his first recruiting class that he's got. He's only got one recruiting class there, and you know, that's not a knock at the people that the previous coach recruited there, but you know, you're recruiting players that are going to fit to your style of play and how you want to go about coaching and playing and even just like practice times and stuff like that. So what's nice is we still put 9 wins on the board with his first recruiting class. So like I said, it's going to be kind of like a women's lacrosse year, or women's lacrosse team, where it took a couple years, but as Coach Asher got more and more of her recruits in, she sees more success, and that's something I've said from the beginning. Coach Miller is a coach I'm excited about to lead that women's basketball team forward.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't know if I've said it on here, but I completely agree. And I've spent, you know, quite a few Wednesday nights or Saturday afternoons 5 feet away from him at the public address counter, and yeah, I like the energy and passion he brings to the game. So looking forward to this coming season. Names to note on the women's side. Got a local guard, Ashlyn Moorhead, coming back for her sophomore season. Mm-hmm. And Hannah Lish going to be a junior.
Yeah.
So those are a couple names that I look forward to next season. And Ava Schultz coming back. I think she'll be a senior this year, if I remember right. We do need a break. We're going to rapid fire quite a few sports when we come back. Praying we're up against the clock here. Our time is valuable here on the ACL Access Show. Frickers and Adrian, stop on out. Really good crowd tonight. Not surprised. They must have heard it was our last show and that Mike Prang was going to be here. He'll be taking photos after,
easy
signing
now.
Autographs. Easy. Josh Mitchell, our engineer. I'm Ian Wett. This is the ACL Access Show, 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
They call us a Cinderella story.
The little college that could.
We are Adrian College.
From the ground up, we continue to build programs, facilities, and academics.
We mold champions and initiate drive.
We are creative, innovative, demanding, and determined.
We didn't start from the bottom. We lead from the top.
We are Adrian College.
This isn't some fairy tale.
It's the beginning of a story.
It's not just 4 years of your life. It's the foundation of your inspiration.
The roots of your future.
We are Adrian College.
Swing by Frickers this week and treat yourself to one of our unbeatable lunch combos. Choose from your favorites, like the Big Frickin' BLT, Cheeseburger, Frickin' Chicken Wrap, and more. Each with a side and drink for just $7.49. Plus, use the Frickers app and score double points on lunch for a limited time. Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Whether you dine in or grab it to go, lunch just got a whole lot tastier and more rewarding. At your home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
They call us a Cinderella story.
The little college that could.
We are Adrian College.
From the ground up, we continue to build programs, facilities, and academics.
We mold champions and initiate drive.
We are creative, innovative, demanding, and determined.
We didn't start from the bottom. We lead from the top.
We are Adrian College.
This isn't some fairy tale.
It's the beginning of a story.
It's not just 4 years of your life. It's the foundation of your inspiration.
The roots of your future.
We are Adrian College.
Right back on the ACL Access Show, the final one for the season. Josh Mitchell, our engineer. I'm your host, Ian Wendt. Co-host today, it's Mike Prang, the Sports Information Director at Adrian College. So a wealth of knowledge to finish up this season. We're moving through some more winter sports and getting into spring. Skating, you had synchronized, you had figure, and some individual national champions. So that's a program that you go to the Arrington, and they have so many accolades, they needed to condense the banner.
Yes.
I mean, I think they had a lull a little bit a few years ago, but if they did, they're back.
Oh, and, like, I think, top of my head, I want to say we have, like, 34 individual national champions in the history of Adrian College, and pretty sure 18 of them are from the figure skating team. So
wow.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. And so yeah, I mean, synchronized skating finished seventh at nationals, and figure skating sixth. So yeah, I mean, plus the two individual national champions. And you know, at figure skating nationals, they had so many, I want to say 9 placed in the top 4 in their divisions and events. So yeah, just overall, another successful Adrian College team.
Cheer took 4th at nationals, and dance took 4th as well. That's a team gunning for a top 3 next year.
Yes.
I know they're very motivated.
Yeah, and it's the first time that cheers compete in the advanced category. Also kind of the first time they brought 2 routines down. So they're very excited. And first year of actually having competitive cheer as a full sport here at Adrian. I mean, we competed in the national championships for cheerleading, but we've never competed leading up to it to continue to get better and showcase that until this year when we officially added competitive cheer.
I don't mean to go through these quick, but we got a lot of bullet points to hit here, Mike. You put a list together. if you're out there listening, or maybe your grandkid plays Overwatch, the Adrian College esports team won the Division C championship in that. That was pretty recent, within the last month, I think.
Yep.
Let's see. Cornhole got a national champion, Alex Weaver. Had him on the show. And then I'm walking to the Marilat, and you guys got his picture up on the wall there, and I'm like, that's cool, man. I feel like more often than not, sports at the college, when they start, they hit the ground running, and then just maintaining, competing. And Alex Weaver certainly did that. I know he had some teammates that did well this year.
Yeah, I mean, that gained a lot of national attention and around the media because of how unique it was. So, yeah, go down to Myrtle Beach and to come out national champion after playing in a 118-person bracket, single elimination, by the way, like, pretty impressive. And next thing you know, you're playing on ESPN and you're winning.
Equestrian, this was over the weekend, right? Mm-hmm. Christopher Warwick goes to nationals, a finalist in high category.
High point category.
Well, you wrote high category.
Yeah, I know. I'm catching my mistake as I read it. But yeah, I mean,
I'm going to say that's a crazy category to try to win. I know a lot of people that would do well in that.
No, it was, I mean, to represent the equestrian team there at nationals, I want to say we had six or seven regional qualifiers. He was the only one that came out and advanced to nationals, and for him to be a finalist was great.
Rowing championships as well. I'm not going to read all the category, but tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, women's singles and women's doubles, the one-person boat and the two-person boat.
Got it.
Both brought home some championships, and the men's single came in second in their Mid-Atlantic Rowing Conference Championships.
And those are programs that I know struggle with numbers. We've had Coach on trying to boost those numbers, and winning some hardware wear should certainly help that. Men's volleyball, I'd say good, not great season. 11-13, 3-6 in a very good league. Just missed out on the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's tough with that postseason, there's 11 teams in the MCBL, and only the top four make the tournament. So, it'd be nice if a couple more teams made it, where, you know, maybe that team gets hot at the right time, and Coach Soto's team was... They weren't necessarily winning those matches because they had to play Wittenberg, who ended up going to the Final Four.
It was kind of the
shock team on the national stage that made it to the Final Four. But we were able to take a set from them, and the team was continuing to progress as the year went on. And, you know, we wish we would have had a shot at the conference tournament to be that upset team and that was getting hot at the right time.
I feel like I'll vouch for Coach Soto and the Bulldogs. I feel like half the team should go.
I agree.
Right? I feel like half is a good number.
If six teams out of the seven-team men's lacrosse conference in the MIAA advance to the MIAA tournament, six out of 11 should advance in the MCVL.
Yeah, we'll send an email to the MCVL. You know, and I like the six, so the two get the bye, and then the four play each other.
Yep.
Now, you don't want to get – you're dancing a thin line there, because I think there are some leagues that there are only four that have a shot. And then there are some where that six team in is like, oh, boy, good luck. You know what I mean? So I get it, but I'll vouch for Coach Soto on that one. Rolling down the list, recently finishing up, we had women's golf and men's golf finished about the middle of the pack in the MIAA.
Yeah, MIAA spring finals the last couple weeks, we hosted the women. We finished fifth in the conference. They placed fourth in that two-round tournament. The huge pickup for the women's golf team was Rachel Fay out of out of Oakland University, and then Michael Schubeck for the men's golf team finished the two-round MIAA spring final one over. So, but you know, like Coach Greenwood talked about when he came on the show, the conference is so good. Him finishing one over for two rounds was sixth, tied for sixth.
Wow.
The MIAA is really good in golf, and, you know, it's an honor to place in the top five.
Yes. Looking at the men's tennis team, they had a good season. They were 7-13 on the year, 3-4 in the conference. They took fifth regular season. Didn't fare too well in the playoffs. The women's team, the same in the postseason. They also finished with three wins. They had five losses in the league with St. Mary's. You get the extra conference game. But we talked about a team that's trying to grow and kind of find themselves a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, what's great for the men is your leader and Michael Mascarin's coming back. The women, you have Hazia and Elliott coming back. So that's great. It's going to be a tough loss losing Claire early, but due to graduation. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of solid talent still coming back.
Men's lacrosse, they picked up a conference win. And, gosh, I mean, I don't know if we talked about it, but
it was a weird season.
What a weird year. I mean, they kept them close. Just they were on the wrong end of so many losses. And what a weird way to end the year.
Yeah.
Two, you got a guy go out and score 8 goals, and you lose to Albion in a shootout.
Yeah, and I mean, we ended the fourth quarter with the lead on the road. Albion's a 3 seed, and regular season we lose to them in overtime. Kalamazoo, we lose in double overtime on the road. Like, very weird games. And I mean, when we played Trine in that monsoon that we had at home, the final score was 7-4. Lacrosse game, 7-4. It was just a defensive battle, and I mean, just a very odd year. I mean, the record doesn't show how competitive that team was. The scores do. Unfortunately, it wasn't a W in front of that.
That's right. Name to point out for our local interest, Trace Tidswell, an attacker, midfielder for the men's team, looking to be part of that leadership group again, coming back next spring. The women's team, good year. You talked about Coach Asher before, prior to in the show, 12-5 in the season, 5-2 in the conference, and they were just a few shots away from, you know, number one, winning the regular season, and then number two, advancing to play for the conference championship.
Yeah, I mean, that one goal loss to Hope at home in the Dome was a rough one, and then it made that Calvin game at the end of the year a must win, but Calvin had it going in. Make it a must-win to win the conference. So a lot riding on that. Had we won that game, there would have been a share of the title with us in Hope. And I mean, tough, but that team is a team that's very improved and did it very quickly with the new coaching change 3 years ago. So, a team I was always excited for as soon as Amanda Asher walked in the door her first day.
Yeah, a very good sophomore class.
Yes.
For that women's lacrosse team. Softball just finished their year. They were like my vision used to be. They were 20-20. They're 7-9 in the conference. I won't go out on the limb for Coach Fox. She was disappointed, right? And I think fans of the program were this year. Just couldn't find that game two pitching, and the offense was, to use a pun, hit or miss.
Yeah, and I mean, we talked all year the inexperience of the pitching staff, and that's not a dig at them. It's honestly a compliment to the two senior pitchers we had last year that pitched all 4 years. But now Avery Clark, as a sophomore, has got another year under her belt, and Lily Utrup and Kira Stacey's graduating, but
yes,
Kenny Ryan, you know, people like that, that now have a year under their belt of pitching in college softball, where next year we're looking to grow and improve, and you have your best hitter, Taylor Gerhardt, coming back for her senior year, a girl that finished the year batting 500.
Yeah. Baseball, a couple teams still going, the NCAA squad and the NCBA D3 team. They're still dancing. They're putting together a memorable postseason.
Yeah, they just won their regional. They won the conference, and then they won their regional, and they swept their regional, went 3-0 in that bracket. They defeated UW-Stevens Point twice, including a shutout in the championship, and Winona State in the semifinals. So they're still playing NCBA D3 World Series. They got the one seed for that.
Whoa.
May 15th through the 17th in Butler, Pennsylvania.
You're making that trip?
We'll see where NCAA baseball is, because they might be
on the road, too.
Yeah.
Or maybe home.
Or at home.
Yeah, track and field, they're sending some student-athletes for some last-chance meets, I assume, this week.
Yep, a couple last-chance meets this week. Wednesday's one, and then there's one on Friday. They're hoping to crack into the top 30 in their event to qualify for nationals the following weekend.
I feel like I say her name wrong every time. Alicia Townsend?
Alicia.
Alicia, yes. Close. She won the MIAA Outdoor.
Yep.
This past weekend. How close is she? Has she qualified already, or no?
Nobody's technically qualified because of all these last chance meets. So.
You know where she is now, roughly?
She's kind of on that borderline.
Okay, so she's going to go.
Yep. Her, James Vines in some of our sprinting categories, and Ian Cramp's going to be one for pole vault, and KJ Scott for some of the throwing events. So a handful of them still competing and on that bubble and looking to advance.
All right, baseball this week on the Cave, the MIAA baseball tournament. I'll be there. The first game is 1:00 Wednesday. Mm-hmm. We'll take on Albion.
Yeah, it'll be a big one. Got the number one seed, hosting the whole tournament at home, and four-team double elimination.
We got some upcoming stuff here. Do you want to point this out, Prang, to end the show?
Yeah, we'll do it quickly. First things first, I mean, the Adrian College Bulldog Golf Outing, Tecumseh Golf Club, Friday, June 5th. It's our largest fundraiser of the year for the Adrian College Athletic Department. All that money goes towards helping teams get stuff like new jerseys and transportation, the necessities to play. So if you're not signed up for that, we're still accepting teams. AdrianBulldogs.com. Under our tickets page is where you can sign up a group. You can sign up as a foursome. You can sign up as a twosome. Or, you know, if you have a company that you want to submit as a sponsor, there's plenty of different sponsorship levels that you'll get recognition at the event. AC night with the Tigers Friday July 24th. The game's against the Royals. It's a 6:45 first pitch. So we have a block of seats. Tickets will be going on sale soon through the Adrian College link. So just continue to check our social media pages for that. And then jumping right into next year. I mean, first day of classes already. Monday, August 24th, and then the home football opener, September 5th, and then rocking right into homecoming, October 3rd.
All right, AdrianBulldogs.com. Maybe some stuff on Adrian.edu, but all the athletic stuff, AdrianBulldogs.com. Prang, I appreciate all the work. I know this show can be difficult some weeks. Other weeks it's not. But it's nice to get the word out to the community what's going on at Adrian College and maybe get people to the events. And if not, reading all your recaps on AdrianBulldogs.com. So thanks to you and Skip, Craig, yeah. Randy, for making this happen.
Thanks to you guys as well for obviously showcasing us and promoting us. And we'll see you guys at Nicolet Field for sure and hopefully the rest of the community. Got That's plenty right. of seating over there showing up.
Yeah.
Brand new video board. We didn't mention that. Brand new video board.
Check it out over at the Nick. Again, AdrianBulldogs.com. Thanks to Kalia, our waitress here at Frickers. Almost every single Monday we've been here, we've had her, and she's put up with me. So I appreciate that. Stop on out Frickers in Adrian on South Main Street. It is the place to be. A big thanks to our engineer tonight, Josh Mitchell. That's going to do it for this season of the AC All Access show. I'm Ian Wentz, right here on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.